Well, welcome back to another Restoring Home, where we discuss marriage, parenting, and faith. And our topic today is why and how to learn to read Hebrew. This is going to be great. I've got guests here tonight who are great examples for the rest of us about this topic, and because they have done what we're talking about. And they know both things that motivated them and how they really got the ball rolling and began to read the biblical language of Hebrew. Today, really quickly, I just have Brandon Rose, who's a student, and somehow in the midst of a student's life, found time to learn how to read the Hebrew language. Sharon Stern, who's a medical doctor, has nothing to do, as I know you've got it made in the shade, and you're 8 to 5 and come home, right? So Sharon, in the midst of that practice and all the other many things that she's involved in, also found time. And Grant Luton, who is a minister, but before that, when you started learning the language, you were
industrial arts teacher, yes.
So we want to ask for you all to help us to understand why you did it to begin with, your stories and your information, and then how you did it, because you're busy. And two of the big reasons that people don't study Hebrew is, one, I don't need to. It's written in English. It's already translated. Why do I need to know that? And the second reason that they halt or fail to learn to read Hebrew is that they say, I don't have time to learn that. So today you're going to put all of those excuses to bed, and you're going to have us all up in the morning bright and early getting out our Hebrew textbooks, right? Yeah. Good deal.
That's right.
We hope so. So let me start with you, Brandon. You're right here close by, so I'll start with you. Tell us about a little bit of your story. What motivated you? What happened to get you to thinking, I want to do that, and kept you going through?
Yeah, so when I started listening to Beth Dahoon's podcasts, I always heard Grant talk about, you know, how important Hebrew is and how important it is to learn, and he would harp on it again and again and again and again. And I was like, man, it's probably important, but I never really understood why. Until one of the teachings, it was on Genesis in the beginning, he brought up how when God creates Adam and Eve, that God creates, he says that he'll create them in his image and then likeness. And then yet he doesn't say, then he creates them in his image, but then he doesn't say likeness again. And then he goes, well, what's the word for likeness? And it's demut. And so demut, likeness. The dal is the door, and then the mut is death. So the only way you can be made in God's likeness is by going through the door of death and dying. And so to me, that was just such a principle of, like, the cross. And just a picture of Yeshua in all the way back in Genesis. And something like that, an insight like that, was like, wow, there is so much benefit to learning Hebrew.
Yeah. Definitely.
Wow, that's great. Sharon, tell us what got you going.
Very different story. I'm a 63-year-old woman now, and 34 years ago, I came to faith in Jesus from my Catholic background, and I was married to a very secular Jewish man who, we both were living very secular lives. But at age 34, I really found my Messiah, and I was desperate for my husband to meet his Messiah too. However, I had a huge problem. My Gentile Jesus Messiah was something that no Jew is going to even consider with the 2,000 years of very bad history. The name of Jesus to a Jew is derision because of so many horrible things that were done historically to Jewish people over the last 2,000 years. And I realized that the only way I was going to be able to introduce my husband to his Jewish Messiah is I had to find my Jewish Messiah. And that started me on a journey of looking into the Jewish roots of my faith. And at that point in time, there were starting to be Messianic congregations in the area. This was way back in the mid-90s. And Ken, seeing me awaken, he was very intrigued, even a little jealous. And he decided that it was time for him to delve into his Jewish faith and roots. And he did it through local Reformed Jewish congregation. And I'll give them credit till the day I die that they looked him in the face and said, Ken, the place we start first is you have to learn Hebrew. And so they taught him Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, and they started teaching him Torah and mm-hmm. teaching it what it meant to be a Jew mm-hmm. through the Hebrew texts. Mm-hmm. And I'm desperate to learn. I'm wow. desperate to become a part of this. I'm going to synagogue with him on Friday nights. I'm going to Messianic congregation on Saturdays. And once he learned Hebrew, he taught me. Mm-hmm. And he started teaching many other people. And life progressed. And for me, all I can tell people is, and I love your segue, Brandon, you can read the Bible, you can read the Old Testament, the Tanakh, in any translation outside of Hebrew, and you will never understand anything more than the surface literal meaning of the texts. Mm. The only way you will ever be able to mine the treasure trove and jewels, the mystery, the excitement of what lies in the surface layers and the deeper layers, is to understand that That's the right. Hebrew language is Lashon Kodesh. It is a holy, totally spiritual language, and only when you engage within the Hebrew language can you begin to have the absolute journey of your life, the That's excitement right. in your life of being able to really begin to understand and discern the deeper treasures that Hashem yeah. has for mm-hmm. us in his scriptures. So that's my story in a nutshell. Yeah. And, you know, 30, 35 years later, you know, it's a journey for everybody. Some mm-hmm. go much further and others go just a certain amount. But you have to have, you have to be able to read and understand the basics mm-hmm. Before you can even begin to dive mm-hmm. any deeper.
Yeah. That's great. Hmm.
That's great. Thank you.
What happened to you, Grant?
Oh, well, I love studying the scriptures since I was in my teens, and I delved into Greek and studied that for years. I made a few running starts at Hebrew, but it always fell flat. Hmm. And I always stumbled over the alphabet, just learned the alphabet, the vowel signs and everything, and I just gave up on it. And But 30 years ago, my first trip to Israel changed all that, and God just birthed within me this hunger to learn Hebrew. I had to learn it. And so I dove in and just plowed my way through, and I tell people that after I started learning Hebrew, the Bible went from black and white to color to 3D. Mm-hmm. Especially my understanding of the apostolic scriptures. They just came alive as well. Mm-hmm. And so that started me on a journey that is still going on. And mm-hmm. it's a, you know, when Sharon was talking about this being a holy tongue, this is what Paul referred to when in 1 Corinthians 13 when he said, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. Well, what's the tongue of angels? It's Hebrew. It's the language of transcendence, the rabbis call it, because it is a spiritual language. It is mm-hmm. the language with which God spoke forth the universe. So it truly is amazing. Mm-hmm. And there, I'm reminded of a Hebrew poet who once said that studying the Bible through a translation is like kissing a woman through a veil. Now, it's better than nothing. But if you get the veil out of between you, then it's so much better. Mm-hmm. And so to get the veil out of the way and engage the scriptures on the terms in which they were given, and that mm-hmm. is Hebrew, mm-hmm. God begins to unveil your eyes. You behold wonders out of his Torah. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it.
That's great. I am the is the latecomer to the community here and the one who does not yet read Hebrew, except the very, very elementary, you know, the alphabet and a few sentences. Sharon
you
is my teacher.
Than you think.
Sharon is teaching me now, and I'm really enjoying it. So late coming into this, I would say that I also first was introduced through listening to some of the teachings on CDs that were coming that you had presented, and my first reaction was, no, you can't do this stuff. You're making up things. You're dividing and spreading out and yeah. calling things. You know, well, this word could be divided this way, this way. And my first thought was, yeah, you can do anything you want to do with letters and numbers yeah. and stuff, fine. And then something came and tapped me right here and said, But you know languages besides English, and you know every language has its own rules.
Yes.
It has its own guideposts. That's right. Everything is not English. Now, people who only know English don't have a different perspective to consider language. But so for them, my maybe offer of help is that different languages have their own rules. The order in which they order the verb and the object and the direct object is different. Whether or not they will be in what tenses, how many tenses there will be. Tones. Mm-hmm. Languages have different tones. You know, can you tell the difference between the word moet and moet? Moet, moet.
Yeah, a little bit.
Subtle, yeah. Those are an African language we learned. It was tonal. It's just two tones. Well, and one means a wound. One means your stomach. So if you have an ulcer in your stomach, you would say, mi moet, moet. What did he say? He has an ulcer in his stomach or a stomach in his ulcer? You have to be listening. So little subtle things like that that are very clear to the hearers of the language. Yeah. And Thai, for example, I think has 8 tones. Mm. Mm-hmm. So the same word, but different tones, rising or falling. So language is unique. Each language is unique and has its own principles and rules. And Hebrew has its own package of rules and such. But so that got me over that hurdle. But then as I started looking at it, it was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. You said that too. It was just like it just keeps unfolding. Mm-hmm. But the truth is consistent. That was one thing I was worried about, is that somehow I would get in this stuff, this Hebrew or whatever, and then it would take me off on some cultic tangent out here somewhere, and I would end up with some weird ideas. Yeah. But instead, it has, like you said with the apostolic scripture, it has opened my eyes to understand them even more wonderfully. Yeah. And my takeaway from looking at these elementary steps into Hebrew language has been to make it even God's word even more astonishing, even more wonderful, and my appetite for it to just ramp up. Mm-hmm. So it's not something to be feared, which is another reason people sometimes take a step into it, is they're afraid that it may cause some problems or hinder their faith in some way, and it will
That's
not.
That's right. Well, you know, you're talking about the rules of language. I was fascinated by how the rabbis over the thousands of years have worked with the Hebrew language. And they do these odd things. They'll cut a word in half. Now you have these two words. So they'll take the name of a letter, like the Dalet, which means door, the Mut, which means death. And then I found that Yeshua, Jesus, did the same thing. In one passage in the Gospels, he says that God is able to raise up out of these stones sons. He can raise sons from these stones. Well, the word for stones is abanim. And if you take off the first letter, it becomes banim, sons.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, and he was doing that with that word, and he was doing a very rabbinic thing. Mm-hmm. And
and his listeners got it.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. Because it was
there were
language.
So many things he did like this. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you real quickly, how did you do it? Okay, so somebody says, okay, I'm willing to have a look or I'm excited about it. How did you make it fit? Because everybody is super, all three of you, we've just talked about all phases of life and all busy people. How did you do it? How did you start, Grant?
I just went to the Christian bookstore and got a book by a gentleman's last name is Mansour. I don't know if the book is still in print. It's called Beginning Hebrew. I just rolled up my sleeves and made myself go through it. Mm-hmm. But it was a passion with me. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I don't think I could have done it. Mm-hmm. But since then, I know Sharon's got a stack of books here. There's so many. So, in fact, this is my shameless plug.
Yes, Brent, I wanted to plug here.
Once I learned Hebrew, shame. I was asked to teach it to kids and at one of the homeschool academies. And so I came up with a technique. For me, the toughest part was learning the alphabet, getting the names and the sounds and the vowels and putting it all together. Because most people, when they start in one of these books, they get about halfway, three-fourths of the alphabet, and they still haven't learned any words. And so I came up with a very, very unorthodox, unconventional way of teaching the alphabet. And I've done this with a number of people in different countries, different ages, and I finally condensed it down into a course called Hasty Hebrew. And it's very hasty. Mm-hmm. It's only four lessons. It's only the first three lessons where we learn the alphabet. And by the end of the third lesson, you're reading the first five verses of Genesis, and you're understanding what you're reading. Mm-hmm. But again, anybody who's written a real scholar mm-hmm. would be horrified at what I've done here. But all I'm concerned with, I mean, what other Hebrew books have a picture of a monkey in the middle of the page? But it works. It works. And so this goes along with four videos on YouTube and the workbook, and you watch the video, go through the workbook, and it's a lot of fun. Good. And if it's fun, you learn it.
And so. And all of these resources that you have here, or if you have other ones, we're going to make sure that they're in the link of the, sure. this video so people can right. follow up on those too. Good. So at that time also, you were working two or three jobs?
I was teaching school full time. And I was working a second job in the evenings for a nonprofit organization in downtown Akron. And then I was leading Beth Thakoon, which is fairly small at the time, but still. And then I had a wife and three children. Mm-hmm. So and it was during that time, and as I was studying Hebrew, that in study halls, I managed to write the book in his own words, Messianic Insights into the Hebrew Alphabet. Mm-hmm. Took a lot of study halls, but mm-hmm. that's when I did the work on this and got it written. But that book came out about 26 years ago, mm-hmm. I think.
That's excellent, too. We'll have it listed as well.
Okay.
Glad you brought those. Sharon, how'd you do it?
You know, I think you have to have passion, and you need sometimes a really good teacher to make you passionate. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I did not find it at all difficult mm-hmm. to master the Hebrew alphabet.
But you had a Jewish husband helping you.
He was learning it for the first time himself in his 40s, you know.
But having someone like yourself.
But he was passionate about it. You know, it was nice to have somebody that yes. we were doing it with. And we were on a journey. You know, we were on a journey together. We were on a spiritual journey. So it was just a really beautiful time in life. But even now, 35 years later, and as a teacher, I know that I will capture and keep a student who I can get them excited about what they're learning. This isn't dry, boring stuff. I started with EKS, Teach Yourself to Read Hebrew. And in the very first chapter, they introduce Shin, Beit, and Tav, and you are reading Shabbat. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get rewarded with, you know, when you dangle little carrots in front of people so that they feel like they've accomplished something, even the very first time you sit down and talk to them. And the more that I learn and grow in my knowledge and understanding of Torah and the mysteries of the alphabet, sharing those little tidbits and morsels as you're teaching, just stopping mm-hmm. and saying, hey, like Demut. This is amazing, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. And people's eyes just, boom, go open. And it's like, this is the carrot I'm dangling in front of you to not give up. Because if you can get through the basics, and then we can move on to dealing with grammar so that you can start reading and understanding, and eventually you can pick up a siddur, and you can actually be reading Biblical Hebrew in Torah, Biblical Hebrew from what has been written and is being used across the globe by every Jewish person, you know, in a synagogue or at home doing morning, afternoon, evening prayers. We become part of. This is what we're supposed to do. The Jewish people are supposed to be the light to the nations and to draw all men to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to bring us in, to bring us home to Zion, to Jerusalem. We're supposed to engraft to them, and we're supposed to bring Messiah back to them. So, you know, it all fits together. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's you've got to find a teacher that gets you excited about what you're doing, and then you have to have some skin in the game to realize that there is great merit to the effort that's put into it. And you got to be honest about what you're capable of doing and pace yourself. Do what you know you can do. Not everybody's going to become a scholar, you know, but one step at a time. And when you've got time to move on, time to move on. Mm-hmm. So that's that's my words of wisdom about this.
Good. Absolutely.
Thank you. Good. Thank you. Good. Brandon, a student, and you work too. I know you've, you've worked as well in IT. I know you have a lot of other interests that could have pulled you away, like people your age would have.
Yeah.
How did you manage to carve out the time? How did you keep yourself motivated, but how did you carve out the time and get this under your belt?
Yeah, so Walt was my former Hebrew teacher, and he passed away in February. Mm-hmm. But in 2019, he just sent out an email to everyone saying, hey, if anyone at Beth Tikkun is interested in learning Hebrew, I'm starting a class. And I said, this is my opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I went to the class, and there was about six of us. And after about week four, it was just me and Walt. So we just went through learning the whole entire alphabet and all the vowels. So I picked up the alphabet really quick. That wasn't a problem for me. And then I said, well, what's next? And he said, you want to go further? And I said, yeah, I do. And so he gave me, we got this book, which is The Guide to Lashon HaKodesh, Mastering the Basics. And that's, you know, grammar and just learning actually how to read the Bible with understanding. And so that's where we went from there.
Good. And these workbooks, some of the ones you've held up, I'm familiar with, but inside, they have the lesson, they have practice sections you can do, and so you write, you can do it all right here in the notebook. And then, of course, some people like to write out cards. I use cards. I write extra cards so I can flip them and kind of work through them as I go. And I have lots of papers that I'm scribbling on the whole time to try and learn how to write the letters themselves.
Some people are very kinesthetic in their learning, and they need to put it down on paper.
Yeah.
Others are visual. You need to understand what your learning style is.
Yeah. True.
And if I can plug this book that Brandon just held up, it is excellent. But it assumes you know the alphabet, the vowels, and how to read and pronounce a Hebrew word. So if you get that part under your belt, that's a great book.
Yeah. Do hasty Hebrew and then do this. There you go.
Yes. That's good. That's a good. Sure. In fact, I plugged that book at the end of this and sent them to that one. It's a great book.
So I was on my own. Away from, I didn't have mentors, I didn't have anyone, I didn't have a community around, and so I was on my own and tried to learn. And it was difficult for me because I do like to hear how the word is spoken. I tried to figure it out, but I was always guessing. And once I hear it, it helps me. So it was really helpful for me to catch words occasionally on your the podcast, the messages. Right. And so I would encourage those who don't have someone around them, if they want to hear that, and also be inspired like you were, to be inspired why I'm doing this, that the insights that are there for me is kind of like saying, if you keep going after it, Steve, you could get stuff like this and this and this. And so listening to your teachings are also very helpful for me because I would hear you talk about things and I would think, yeah, I want that. Oh, that was great. I'd like to be able to figure that out on my own. And so listening to some of the Beth Tikkun videotape sessions would be really helpful in learning as well, keep motivation up.
And we live in a time, if I can just insert something here, when I started learning Hebrew, I didn't know anyone else who read Hebrew. I learned mine out of a book, and I had no idea how it was really pronounced, you know, and when I heard it pronounced, I thought, well, that's not what I'm hearing in my head as I study. But there are so many great resources online, and you've studied Hebrew live with a teacher from Israel, correct? And this is a wonderful time. There's no excuse for anyone who wants to learn Hebrew for not learning it.
There are so many platforms that are available. There is a online virtual classes starting from people who know nothing to very, very advanced from Hebrew University from Jerusalem. I spent 6 years studying with them with a PhD Hebrew scholar from London University. She and her husband were, actually her grandfather was the chief rabbi of Israel at one point in time, and they made Aliyah at retirement to Jerusalem, and she, to make some money on the side, was teaching for this company, and she was a phenomenal teacher. Great. I mean, that's what I needed. I mean, you know, somebody to just stoke my enthusiasm and just the richness that she brought into this. And over a 6-year period of time, where there might have been 20 or 25 people in a class. There were six of us that stuck together, and we spent 2 years going beyond the curriculum with her, going through what we wanted to do with her, you know, as our mentor. There's a lot of free stuff out there. It's there. It's there. There's no excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. And one clarification we have to make is there's biblical Hebrew you want to learn, but then there's modern Hebrew, and there's a lot of overlap, but you want to focus on biblical Hebrew because it has certain rules and things about it. So make sure you're studying the right Hebrew.
Correct. Yeah. Biblical Hebrew. Biblical Hebrew.
And we've got about 4 or 5 minutes here, but I want us to try and get all three of you to give a chance to answer this one, to share a memorable moment or inspiring insight on your journey to learning to read Hebrew. Yeah. What is a might have been the one you used to share a while ago about the word that was you saw in this word, something that just inspired you. But is there, as you were learning, is there something that you learned one day or something happened one day and you said, oh, that just... You just have always remembered that one as being a special thing that you picked up because you were studying Hebrew. It opened something up to you. Do you have any stories or any thoughts off the top of your head?
You can start.
Sure. I just remember it was lesson 14. It was the last one I did with Walt, and it looked really scary. All this Hebrew on this page, and I was terrified.
Yeah.
And I read the entire thing, and I actually got it all right. And to me, that was like, I actually can read this and understand this. And these are verses from the Bible.
That's wonderful.
So having comprehension in that, and for the first time, when going from nothing to that, is just, it's really rewarding if you put in the work.
Amen. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I think for me, it was getting fluent enough to be able to open up a siddur and to be reading fluently and understanding what I was doing, and I felt as a Gentile that I was grabbing onto the tzitzit of a Jew and saying, take me along with you, because I know that you know Hashem, and I know that you know who Messiah is, should be, that to me was a huge accomplishment for me.
I think the thing for me was when I first started learning Hebrew, I went up to Cleveland, which has a large Jewish community, and some Judaica stores. So I went into a Hebrew bookstore and saw this book, The Wisdom in the Hebrew Alphabet. This book I've had for almost 30 years. And I thought, well, who writes books about an alphabet? But I have about a dozen books on the Hebrew alphabet in my library. And this is a chapter per letter, and I began to realize just what the Lashon HaKodesh, the holy language, is. Each letter, the 22, each letter has its own personality, its own character. Each one's a picture. Each letter is a word. Each letter is a number. Each letter has so much depth, so many levels. And when you begin to put these together, you begin to realize you're stepping out of the flat land of human language and entering to a spiritual, three-dimensional, multifaceted land of God's holy language. Mm-hmm. Quick example. Mm-hmm. The first letter is Aleph. It means master. Second letter is Beit. It means house. Put the two together for the word Av, father, who is the master of the house. Mm-hmm. So words become stories. Words become these multi-leveled pictures of layers and layers and layers of meaning. Mm-hmm. The rabbis say that each word of the Torah has 70 levels of meaning. And I think it probably has more. It's an adventure. You never fatigue, get tired of. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, thank you. You did it. You got it in time.
Oh,
everybody got their story in. Thank you all for taking time to be here and share this. And those people who are looking at the table, don't be intimidated by the books. These are all multiple resources, a lot of them doing the same things. And so the good news is people can just jump in. There are lots of places to jump in. Just jump in and get started. And plus those resources that are online, so people don't have to be intimidated about spending a lot of money for books and materials and such. A lot of this is free right there online. So I encourage everybody to know that. We're going to put these, we're going to list these things and maybe some of those website addresses also at the link below on the video. So thank you all for visiting again on Restoring Home. And this has been a delightful time to visit with our guests here today. And I am eager, more than ever, to get back to my studies and to dig deeper in getting my Hebrew in, under my control so I can really get in there and learn and see all of these things unfold in front of myself. I hope you will take this to heart and not be intimidated or overwhelmed, but just see that there's a sparkle in our eyes. There's something warm in our hearts that has been really enriched and is excited and enthused about this that has taken us above the level of being a physician, being a student, being a teacher, and has lifted us out of that to the point that this is now essential in our hearts and our lives.
Everybody can do this.
I do think
so. Our kids learn how to do this and stand up and do their bar and bat mitzvahs and
from
our Torah scroll. Yeah. And it's
a blessing.
Yeah.
In fact, this year, at the end of the year, we're going to give gifts out to each of our children and their families. And every family will get a Hasty Hebrew because we have grandkids.
Cool.
So every family is going to get a copy of Hasty Hebrew. And, of course, the videos will be there, too.
Wonderful.
So they can all begin to learn at that level. So God bless, and we'll see you next time on Restoring Home.